East Coast Breakfast.
We just want to find stuff out here, okay? The United States President Donald Trump's executive order titled Addressing Egregious Actions of the Republic of South Africa, or the acronym AEAO. Thros.
Did you just make that up?
Yeah, he did.
Anyway, the Addressing Egregious Actions of the Republic of South Africa, it has granted it's a bill by the President of the United States of America granting refugee status to Afrikaners, mm-hmm. citing racial discrimination, violence, and land seizure in South Africa.
Yeah, so let's just clarify, not all Afrikaans people are Afrikaners, but obviously if you are an Afrikaner, you are Afrikaans, right? So Afrikaners have a very distinct cultural identity in South Africa, including historical traditions, religion, and a shared ancestry. So Sky, it's Afrikaans is a language that Afrikaans people speak, Afrikaners speak. It doesn't mean that if your language is Afrikaans, it automatically makes you an Afrikaner. An Afrikaner is people that have descended from European descent that are white people that have been born in South Africa.
Okay.
So that's a distinguishing factor we need to remember.
Okay. And this is how we got here, right? So there was an executive order, and then the South African Chamber of Commerce in the USA reported receiving over 10,000 relocation inquiries within 18 hours. And of those, so far, a group of 49, right, has been chosen to be relocated to the USA as refugees. Okay. Very healthy refugees.
The healthiest refugees in the history of the world. I think it'll go down in history books.
Yes.
So, sorry, guys, can we just go back there? You said the South African Chamber of Commerce in the USA, which is the SACUCUSA.
SACUSA.
Oh, wow.
We're doing acronyms.
Okay, So it's the SACUCUSA.
Yeah. I just want to know, like, how were these people selected? That's what I want to know.
Well, it's an interesting one.
I want to know if they're going to be like, what are they going to be doing there? Because not all Afrikaners are farmers, right?
No.
To Carmen's point.
It's very different.
We have an Afrikaner who flies planes and rides English Business Watch.
Yes.
There's like, they are very different.
Yeah.
Well, I also wanted to know particularly if they could come back. So generally when you flee a country and you genuinely are fleeing, you know, war and famine and you're being persecuted, this isn't the case, obviously. So I wanted to know if they could come back to South Africa. So I've obviously gone to another country, you've given up everything. The one gentleman said he left his 5-bedroom house and his mom and his dogs. But as an example, so you've left everything behind. Can you ever come back? So I think it's important we just do some research and find out the answers to these questions. There is a UKZN political science lecturer and political analyst Zakhele Ndlovu. American officials welcomed a group of 49 Afrikaners at Washington Dulles International Airport last week in a ceremony greeting them as refugees based on the argument that they're fleeing discrimination and racially based violence in their home country. We've got UKZN political science lecturer and political analyst Zakhele Ndlovu. He joins us now. Good morning.
Good morning, and also good morning to your listeners.
What was the process of applying as a refugee?
This is an exceptional case. I don't think that they went through the rigorous process of applying for the status that they got. Since President Trump got re-elected, he has been basically chasing away all the immigrants mainly from South America, Asia, and Africa. And then all of a sudden, after the South African government passed the expropriation bill, it became a big issue that the Afrikaners are being discriminated against. This was a special case, and you know the timing is also interesting, as I said, because this is the time that the U.S. is busy chasing away immigrants. At the same time, they are welcoming these Afrikaners. So they are a special case. So even the process itself, I would imagine, was pretty special and not as rigorous as is normally the case.
Yeah, it seems to be harder to, you know, to get a visa, I guess, to America just in general. And they've got their own population, I mean, of homeless in their own country. But I want to talk about the idea behind it. What will they be doing, these South Africans that have been taken over under these circumstances? What will they actually be doing in the United States?
The assumption is that most Afrikaners are farmers. They are expected to continue doing farming in states such as Texas, Idaho, Nebraska, and so on. But my understanding is that not all of them are farmers. So those who are not farmers, I think they would have to expect to work very hard. In the U.S., it's common for people to work two jobs, three jobs. So I don't think life is going to be rosy and as easy as they expect. There are going to be challenges, but I think that those who are busy mocking them, I don't think it's fair. And you know, in South Africa, they have also faced a number of challenges, especially the farmers, you know, the crime which is rampant in the country, and of course the threat that their land could be seized, especially after the passage of the expropriation bill.
So I want to know, how would you say this affects South Africa's international image, our diplomatic relations with the U.S. as well?
President Trump says that these people are being persecuted, are being discriminated against. Obviously, that portrays South Africa as a country that does not take good care of its citizens, especially minority groups such as the Afrikaners. So it basically projects this image of South Africa as a country that is not protecting its minorities. As you know, in many countries like Myanmar, China, you find that minority groups are not being protected. So South Africa is also now coming across as a country that is not doing its job when it comes to protecting minority groups.
What are the implications? Can these refugees decide to come back to South Africa?
Well, look, they are not losing their South African citizenship, so they're going to be holding dual citizenship. So if they do choose to come back, nothing should stop them. They cannot be stripped of their South African citizenship. So if they find life tough in the U.S., anytime they can come back because they still hold dual citizenship.
And that's UKZN political science lecturer and political analyst Sakhele Ndlovu joining us on the topic of the 49 Afrikaner refugees who arrived in the United States of America.
Come on, I heard a rumor that one of the guys who identifies as an Afrikaner can't even speak Afrikaans.
Apparently,
or doesn't even speak fluent Afrikaans.
Yes.
So I want to know, what is the test that you would use to distinguish between like a fake Afrikaner,
yes,
like an English Afrikaner?
Pretending to be an Afrikaner, but a real one.
It? Like if somebody comes and says, I am an Afrikaner, how do you know if that is or is not the case and then can go on to apply for refugee status? Because that refugee status, I mean, make no mistake, they're getting housing,
yeah,
stipend,
yeah,
guaranteed job,
work,
something which a massive percentage of Americans can't boast.
Don't have, yeah,
at this stage. But they're getting really, really preferential. It's... how do you distinguish between an Afrikaner and a not Afrikaner? Well, we know someone. You might not know this, but we know someone who can help.
Hi, guys. Kumas here. I just wanted to help everyone understand who is Afrikaner and who is not, with all of us Afrikaners what ended up in North Virginia in the United States of America. Me, myself, I didn't end up in North Virginia. I must have taken the wrong flight. I'm here at Virginia Circle. I thought the flight was a bit short. Anyway, how do you know you are Afrikaans? Well, one of the things is an Afrikaner, when it says hello to you, doesn't he just say hello? He says, goeiemôre, my vrou. He's a swinkie for you. And then if you want to test if someone is Afrikaans, it's very easy. You just put in front of him a gas braai, a charcoal braai, wood braai, and say, pick one. And then you'll know. Other little things like, what is the color of the pocket on your Kortmo khaki empi or short sleeve khaki shirt? The correct answer there is blue. You wouldn't wear a normal color pocket on a short sleeve shirt. That is just silly for a burki. A good trick question would be, do you still wear your high school rugby jersey to the mall 40 years later? That is an absolute affirmative on that one. If you want to go into their search history, you'll find that if their daughter changed their wedding day because the Bokke were playing on that day, then you know this man is Afrikaner and is a refugee. Okay, I hope this clears up for you guys. And if anyone's coming past Virginia, I'm holding a sign saying back to South Coast. Okay, bye guys.
From 6 a.m. weekday mornings on East Coast Radio.